The word today is Lord's Prayer. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Christ taught his disciples how to pray by giving them an example of prayer. As we pray, we are to have our heart and mind focused on what we are saying. Here with some practical help on praying is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Lord's Prayer.
All the way through the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we are told about prayer and the importance of prayer. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to do a word study, it would be an excellent topic to take the subject of prayer and just look at some of the references in the Old Testament and New Testament. You can learn a great deal about how to communicate with God. One of the most direct answers that God gave to the subject of prayer is found in the 6th chapter of Matthew. As a matter of fact, the disciples had come to talk to Jesus, and they asked him about prayer. They said, "We'd like to learn how to pray. We'd like to learn the important things about prayer." And Jesus taught them in a very special prayer that he prepared just for this purpose, and he said, "Here's how you should pray." And he taught them then what is now called the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father, since it begins with the words, "Our Father in heaven." And so that particular section of the 6th chapter of Matthew, in fact, you can begin at verse 9, and actually, I would say go ahead and start at the beginning of the chapter. Why just start at verse 9? But at any rate, that's where the specific words dealing with the Lord's Prayer are found. When you talk about the kingdom of God, this prayer addresses that fact when it says, "May your kingdom come." We are to pray about the kingdom of God and ask that God's kingdom will come. You know, very often you will attend a church, maybe during the summer if you're visiting around and you're traveling, and occasionally you'll find a church that is so, I don't know what the word is, so used to saying it or so used to doing it automatically that they will rattle off the Lord's Prayer so rapidly that you can't even hardly think of what the words mean. That really disturbs me. I think we ought to make an effort to slow things down, slow it down. For instance, when you pray, "Thy kingdom come," don't just rattle it off, "Thy kingdom come," and hurry on to the next phrase, because your mind can't absorb that, can't think that way. When you're talking about the kingdom of God, it involves a number of things. First of all, there are parts of the kingdom of God. There are definitions for the kingdom of God. You can talk about the kingdom of grace, for instance. What a marvelous gift that is. That's the Holy Christian Church. And the Holy Christian Church is identified by the Word of God as it is preached and the sacraments. In the Lutheran Church, of which I am a member and a pastor, we talk about the sacraments. And by the way, that's not a biblical word. Sacrament is a church word not taken from the Bible. In other words, there's no accurate definition of the meaning of sacrament in the Bible, and so you can give it your own meaning, and some churches have done that, and they've made the definition for sacrament so large and so all-inclusive that they have 5, 6, 7 different sacraments, and in the Lutheran Church, we have narrowed the definition. We try to make it very exclusive, and we put into the definition the fact that whatever it is you're talking about has to forgive sins. And if you say it has to forgive sins, then you're left with only two things. Two of the things that people refer to as sacraments, and we would call those two the Holy Baptism and the Lord's Supper. And that's how we say in the Lutheran Church there are two sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism. Well, So much for the definition of the word sacrament. I am kind of getting us off the subject here of what I wanted to talk about. We're talking about prayer. We do not call prayer a sacrament since it does not forgive sins. We pray for the forgiveness of sins, but just the act of prayer in itself doesn't take sin away, obviously. Sin is removed by God as his gift in answer to prayer. And so we make a distinction there. To get back to the subject of prayer, however, when you're talking about the kingdom of God, you have the kingdom of grace, which is the church, as I was just defining it. And so when you're praying that God's kingdom will come, you're saying, may the church expand. May God bring people into his kingdom, into the Holy Christian Church. And he does that by conversion. This is one possible way, for instance, that you can slow yourself down when you're saying the Lord's Prayer. When you're saying, thy kingdom come, why not think for a moment or a second or in some period of time that you want the church to expand and you want people to come into the fellowship of Christian believers? That would be one part of praying the Lord's Prayer. Also talking about the kingdom of God, you have the kingdom of power, and most people are aware of that, that God rules over all things. God is in charge. And even though it may seem at times as though God has lost some control, you know, when you have rebellious nations and when you have people at war with one another, it may seem as though God is kind of in the background, but God still is watching. God is still aware, and he still is in control. And ultimately, God does rule all things. And it is God that even makes nations rise and fall. You bet it is, and we should never forget that. Once in a while, we here in America get to feel a little bit cocky as though we're, you know, we're such a wonderful nation and we're doing so well and so on. Well, we should remember that God promises to restore and to show his love upon the nations that regard him as the Lord and who come to him in repentance and ask for forgiveness. Now, I believe there's a lot of Christians in America, but I do not like the phrase that America is a Christian country. It certainly is not a Christian country. We have all kinds of religions here, and we have all kinds of peoples in their worship that do not confess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So you can hardly say that we are a Christian country. There are many Christians living here, thank God for that. And we hope that those Christians will be listening to God's word and will be repenting so that God will again restore his mercy and his love and his kindness upon America. That would certainly be a wonderful blessing. And hopefully the pastors, the Christian pastors and teachers throughout the world, especially here in America, will work on teaching their people to come to God in humility and to come in repentance and ask for his help and his blessing. The certainty is that God will answer those kinds of prayers. Well, we have tried to distinguish the kingdom of God here, and I want to add one more part of the kingdom of God, and that's the kingdom of glory, which is another name or another way of identifying what heaven is. You know, there is our life here on earth, and then there is eternal life, which is what we're going to be living with God in heaven. There is an eternity also in hell, so that the people that go to hell will also have an eternal life, so to speak, but not of living, but of dying. It will be continuous death without ultimately dying. It's hard to define that, because it means it'll be the total absence of God. God will not be in hell. Satan will be in hell, and Satan will be ruling over hell. It is going to be the most horrible thing in the world. If you define hell, it's the absence of God, the absence of any love, the absence of any hope. And it's going to be not only a physical torment, which certainly will be there, but also, most importantly, a spiritual torment. There will be the awareness that you missed the boat and the boat is not coming back, so to speak. There is no hope. There is no way that you can ever get out of hell. And so it's going to be an important part of when you say the Lord's Prayer, that when you're saying, "Thy kingdom come," you're saying, "May the kingdom of God, which for the believer who trusts in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and who knows that their sins are forgiven, that eternal life will be with God without end. It'll never come to an end. There is no death in heaven." And so the point I'm trying to get at is that when you say, "Thy kingdom come," it should be said slow. It should be said with reflection so that you're thinking about what the words mean. And of course, the next part of that prayer talks about hallowed. The word hallowed isn't a very popular word in the English language anymore. It means holy. It means to make it reverent. And we're talking about God's name. Hallowed be thy name. May we use it not carelessly, not in a malicious way, trying to curse someone or something like that, but in a hallowed way, in a holy way in which we honor it and use it in our prayer life. In fact, that's about the best way that you can use God's name, is in your prayer life and when you're singing hymns of praise to him. It shouldn't be used in a careless way or a thoughtless way, or certainly not in a judgmental way when you're trying to condemn somebody. Well, I hope that prayer will become even more important to you than it presently is. Take a look at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and work through it very slowly. Think about the kingdom of God. Think about the word hallowed and all the other phrases in the Lord's Prayer. And I'm sure as you pray it then thoughtfully and more carefully and with a greater desire for thoughtfulness, that it will become more meaningful to you. This is a great prayer. Don't let it become automatic so that you don't even think of the words. Think of what they mean and pray thoughtfully, and it'll be a special prayer for you.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.